Geminis are crazy, but talented. I mean, you know, Kanye's a Gemini, Lauryn Hill's a Gemini, Kendrick's a Gemini. So they're very talented, but they're definitely crazy.
So your wife was almost great training for you, the people that you would work with in the future.
Exactly.
You're like, you're crazy, but this is good.
Yeah, it's good. And who knew I was going to be like the Gemini whisperer?
Oh, honey.
Welcome to the Oh Honey podcast,
where you get the sticky and the sweet with Summer
and Amanda and Che Po. So Che is a producer and former president of Good Music. That's right.
That's right.
And you've worked with Kanye, The Weeknd.
Yeah, Dr. Dre. Yeah. The list goes on and on and on.
Any favorites?
Wow. You know what? They're all different. I enjoy it, but I just enjoy the challenge and the, you know, of each artist is very their own individual, and like I'm fortunate to have worked with these really larger than life personalities,
right?
Such as a Kanye.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun journey.
Yeah.
Well, no, definitely never a dull moment.
No, I'm sure. How long were you president for? Of Good
Well,
Music?
I've worked with Kanye in various capacities, but generally probably working with Kanye for about 7 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are still cool?
We're still cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're still cool.
Because usually whenever somebody hears former or like moving on, but you moved on to kind of start your own thing.
Yep, building my own company.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, which is exciting. And at the end of the day, I think he's more moving in different directions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he's more moving into fashion and apparel. So yeah. Probably less music stuff.
And your soul, your passion just screams music, right?
Well, music, media. I'm actually going to move into film and television as well.
Oh, yeah, so. Well, let us know.
Okay.
I can't sing, but well, that's cool. Like, okay. And you have, are you married, engaged,
married,
girlfriend?
Actually, it'll be 20 years in October 9th.
Oh, 20 years, yeah. That's a long time.
I know,
time.
That's a real, I don't think I've ever done anything for 20 years. So,
yeah.
Know, just the fact that.
That's a commitment.
Yeah, two kids. One in college, hence the Syracuse pajamas.
Hey,
and
then, representing.
Yeah, and then one 16-year-old son.
Aww.
Yeah.
And then, so one's 16 and one's
19. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So they're pretty close in age.
Yeah, but they have that brother-sister thing, you know, that nice rivalry or whatever.
Which is always interesting, right? Yeah,
that three-year gap is like just enough that they're like the little brother that gets on the nerves.
Right. That's how I was the youngest, and my sister was 3 years older than I was, and my middle sister was like a year older than me, so like Irish twins or something, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you sad when the one went off to college?
Yeah,
because
my daughter, my firstborn, so she's like, you know, and then she went so far, so it was like, okay, but you know, you just gotta kind of, they grow up, right?
Mm-hmm. Where'd she go to college?
Syracuse.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Where's that?
Upstate New York.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, guys, I don't know. I don't know.
That's a great school.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah.
And, you know.
When did you meet your wife?
College.
Oh, yeah?
College, yeah.
Which college?
We went to school in Hampton University. And it's the city where Allen Iverson's from.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so, like, when I went to college, it was a lot going on down there.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. That's when, like, Diddy was throwing parties down there.
Mm-hmm.
Pharrell and Timbaland are from the area. Hence the new the festival Pharrell just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right in that same area.
So is that kind of being, were you from there or you just went to college?
No, I was from Boston. I'm from Boston.
Oh, cool.
I just went to college there, yeah.
Nice.
There's a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Hence meeting my wife.
And you met your wife in college?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow. And then after you met her, you just knew, you were like, yeah, you're the one? Or
I think it's funny because when I first met her, I'd gotten her phone number, and then it actually took me like kind of a while. I think she was wondering if I liked her or not. It took me a while to kind of follow up and call. You know, when guys, you know, you get the number, you're supposed to make the call, right? You're supposed to. I was kind of slacking on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I was just vetting her. I was just, you know what I mean? Just
feeling
just,
it out.
Yeah, feeling it out, so.
And how long before you guys started officially dating after a meeting?
Well, when I first
like
met
go
her,
back 20 over 20
when I first
years.
Met her, I'm putting her business out there, right? When I first met her, she gave me her number, but she had a boyfriend.
Oh,
but I still got the number.
But I still got the number.
Yeah.
So she had to get
to be
rid of,
friends,
yeah,
right?
She had to
of
get
course.
Rid, yeah, she had to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. And then, so maybe 6 months, maybe 6 to 8 months after, or something like that.
Oh, okay. And then
I don't think I called for like 6 months.
Yeah, like she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah, I think I just kept an eye on her and then
waited out.
Like, yeah, in like 6 months, and then I called.
Did you wait it out?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Yeah, the boyfriend was gone. He was out. You know.
Is that the story or is that the reality?
That's the story. No. She really got rid of the boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Story and the reality.
Yeah, and the reality.
Both.
So,
it's and then confusing
we've been
question.
Yeah, we've been together ever since. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
And
has it just been like have you guys had breaks or is it just like when you guys got together?
No, we haven't had breaks, but like any relationship we've had it's like
ups
the roller coaster.
Downs.
Yeah, you know, she's a Gemini, I'm a Taurus, so Geminis are crazy.
Yeah. Always heard bad things about Geminis every
really?
Single time.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't
they
know.
They just have a bad rap. Not like bad things.
Yeah.
It's just like
well,
they have two sides to them. Or
right.
Like, is that
Split.
True?
Well,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Does that lead into cancers too? Because I'm a cancer. Do you know about signs?
I know a little bit about, but your sign's more stable though.
Yeah.
What about Virgo?
Okay.
Huh? Virgo.
Oh, you're thoughtful. Virgos are very, very.
And what are Tauruses?
Stubborn, loyal, you know.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
but
solid.
What would you say about Gemini?
Geminis are crazy, but talented. I mean, you know, Kanye's a Gemini, Lauryn Hill's a Gemini, Kendrick's a Gemini. Mm-hmm. So they're very talented, but mm-hmm. they're definitely crazy.
So your wife was almost great training for you, the people
yes.
that you would work with in the future.
Exactly.
You're like, you're crazy, but this is good.
Yeah, it's good. And who knew I was going to be like the Gemini Whisperer or something
right?
like that.
You basically yeah. are. That's your new
yeah.
title.
He's the Gemini Tamer.
Yeah. How to Tame a Gemini, your new book.
Yeah. I have an artist I'm working with now named Amalia Waddy who was on American Idol, and she's Gemini too, so it's just funny.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, literally, like,
I feel like
Gemini.
That happens, though. You, like, kind of attract that. Like, for me, I attract a lot of Cancers in my life.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
It's just
I attract a lot of Geminis. Both
yeah.
of my, like, really serious boyfriends have been Geminis.
Wow. Yeah?
And I always hear bad things about them, so I'm like,
what are you? Oh, you're
Virgo.
Yeah, we just went over this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Virgo. When is that?
September,
right?
Oh, I
yeah.
obviously know nothing about, like, signs.
I know nothing about
September.
I don't even know anything about
Oh, beginning of September, right?
Mine's 15th.
Aren't they supposed to have like a high sex drive?
Okay.
Well, let's okay. go back to the book and dive into the honeypot.
She'd have to answer that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Amanda wants to take it all sexual. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Do they have a high sex drive summer? Pause.
But
yeah.
I feel like that doesn't have to go with science. I feel like that's person to person.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've heard that about Virgos.
I haven't ever heard it.
All right, well, I'm going to Google it later. We're going to get
yeah.
like a.
I think I've heard that.
An expert on this topic on our next podcast.
We should have a.
Yeah.
A,
yeah. To go
sign.
Over all the.
Yeah.
Like dive into the astrology and all that sort of stuff.
I know. I want to
like
learn.
Like levels
all that stuff.
To this.
I want to learn that stuff.
We'll have it on here.
Yeah,
you can watch the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll educate everybody, including
Beautiful.
Ourselves.
So if you are
yeah,
expert, slide in our DMs.
Yeah, just horoscopes, like, just tell us everything. diary@ohhoneydiary.com, hit us up. But so you went into the music industry that moved you, that was immediate move to LA?
To New York first.
New York.
So New York.
I feel
yeah.
like that's normal, like,
yeah,
kind of the
like,
route.
I mean, it's that, what's that saying? If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah. Kind of,
I think that holds true for the music industry. Like, if you, especially
mm-hmm.
in New York, at the time, especially, you know,
mm-hmm.
which was like, you know, early, mid 90s and stuff. So it was like, New York was still kind of like.
That was the spot for it too, especially
yeah.
in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
It's like you had to do it in New York.
Yeah, you did.
In college, did you know you wanted to be a producer? Like, was that your old?
No,
musical?
I did it for fun more than anything. I was a finance major. Which is coming in handy now, later in life.
Yeah,
like,
also very luckily. Useful, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of building a business and stuff. But no, I just kind of, something I always did,
mm-hmm.
but I just started getting better at it and better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a deal with Teddy Riley. That's how I started.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
So from being in the music industry, it has like a rep of being very difficult to hold a relationship in, just because, you know, so many people that you're meeting, there's a lot of stereotypes around it.
It is. I mean, I think you travel a lot, you're around a lot of people. I mean, yeah, and relationships are hard enough. Just imagine, you know, just
yeah.
if someone had a 9 to 5, a relationship is hard. So
yeah.
imagine like being in the studio at night and
mm-hmm.
to 2 a.m. and all that
Late
kind of
nights.
Stuff. Yeah, and travel.
All the girls who want to be around the studio.
Like the groupies.
Yeah, the groupies.
Videos.
Yeah.
yeah. And the funny thing is, in the music industry is funny because there's male groupies and female groupies.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. females have the same, you know, it's just the same, they're
Flip.
Just the same, yeah, situation.
Did you ever find yourself in a situation that you're like, I need to get out of this studio right now.
Especially moving to LA. You know, a lot of people have house parties and stuff in LA or whatever, and then people go out. So in LA is definitely a time where it's like, oh, okay, you know what? It's time to go.
Yeah.
I would say I was pretty grounded. You know, I went to a college that had a lot of girls. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, my wife might not agree with this, but in my opinion, I was pretty grounded. Mm-hmm. I think going to the music industry and being around it.
Your wife might not. That's probably not a good thing. Yeah. My wife might not agree with this, but.
Yeah. But in my opinion, I've been pretty grounded.
Too. Yeah. Well, you're also comparing yourself to others that are doing like way crazy things.
Yeah.
Do you have any like stories, not naming names, but, or naming names, whatever you want?
I would say, just one of the funniest stories was we walked in like, it was supposed to be a party, like sort of an after party situation one time, and it was a cocaine party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of funny, just in terms of like, they were literally like handing out baggies of cocaine.
Yeah, party favor here.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, no thank you, I don't do cocaine.
That's
and they were like,
pretty expensive.
And they were like, you don't party,
favor.
You don't party. Yeah. I was like, I do party, but not
in
that
a different
party.
Way.
Yeah, so.
The peer pressure.
You know, yeah, you know, they're just funny people. More, be honest with you, just more funny people than anything. Like, not necessarily like too many crazy situations, but just funny people.
Yeah.
Just people that are just
characters.
Yeah, just characters. And you know, and I attribute it to just the entertainment industry as a whole, because you just get the funniest people.
Well, I think it happens a lot too, especially in the industry, or whether that be music or just entertainment in general. Like, I think everybody's such a character in their own that some of them, like, they don't prioritize, like, the relationships. No. They, like, sometimes even go into relationships to get that creative juice that they need for their music. Yeah.
They need subject matter.
Yeah. Right? It's like, true. And some girls, like, I guess like the groupies that are around there, they're like, cool, yeah, use me as your inspo. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and I think, or some of them, you know, honestly are naive, you know what I mean? They come from, people move here from all over the place, you know what I mean, from other cities. They have expectations of people, oh, this person's going to, I meet this person, I'm instantly going to be
the ladder.
In the mix. Yeah, I'm instantly in the mix.
Or they think they're going to be different. They're going to fall in love with me.
Exactly.
I'm different.
You know.
But I've noticed, like, with artists, like, what I've seen a lot of is they usually end up with the people they were with before they were famous. Like, sometimes, like, they go back, or they're, like, turn into a power couple and go with somebody who's, like, the same level
the
as
same,
them.
Yeah. To me, some of them, I don't know if it's almost like social climbing, or they've tried it, meaning I feel like someone like a J-Lo or someone, it seems like she's tried to have some genuine relationships, and it was like, all right.
You know, it got weird.
Me and the dancer, that's not working.
Yeah.
Go get me an
A-Rod.
I
don't really know a lot of really famous people that are with, they're like people from their hometown.
Yeah. I know
there's
like
so
a few people.
Some.
Like, personally, I don't want to like put
their
stuff.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about like A-list celebrities.
Yeah, well, I guess in like the DJ world, like it's like in your own genre, you
can
be like
the
top.
No, I'm saying there's people all the time. There's like, there's different levels to celebrity. Like, and I think of like the celebrities I'm talking about, like J-Lo, like that kind of stuff. They're with like famous people. Like, you know, like Beyonce and Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Like that's the kind of.
Some people like Kim and Kanye, like it was definitely like two power people, you know what I mean? So. I agree, but there's some like LL is like married his, you know, college sweetheart. Snoop married his high school, college sweetheart, high school sweetheart.
No one really like Snoop, so you don't know that he's even married. Really, the average person
probably doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't change the fact that he is, and he did that.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying when you are with someone who's also famous, that's maybe why it's a power couple, because you know both of them. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so maybe you don't even know if they're with their high school sweethearts because you don't know who they are.
Yeah, they like it that way. Yeah. Like,
that's what I would like it that way. Yeah. Like,
it's probably
I don't
not as pressworthy, right? If it's just some like sort of, you know,
and I think,
civilian or something.
Yeah, like how can I get more PR here?
Right. Exactly.
But at the same time, it's like, I think sometimes people get together because when you're at that stage in your career too, it's like, all right, like I want somebody who's as driven as me, who's like has been through all these obstacles and can relate to me on these levels. Like,
I think the common, the common ground is that, okay, you can relate to this. So when I am out working late or I do have to travel this, you understand it. Yeah, you understand it. You're not going through it.
You know boundaries too. Mm-hmm. And you know, like there's so many different elements with different lifestyles that. Yeah.
But some celebrities do want the normalcy. Like a friend of mine's married to Ellen Pompeo and she's like that. She probably would not, you know, have someone who's another celebrity, you know?
Yeah. So that's how I am. That's how I would be. I wouldn't want to date another celebrity.
Yeah, because it does add, like, it's not easy, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
Because there's temptation everywhere. We always reference Beyonce. Obviously, we love Beyonce. But, like, even her whole album. You just feel her through it. You're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? You feel all the ups and downs of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And everything's very public, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Versus, like, say, like a Jessica Alba, who met, you know, this guy. I mean, he's in the entertainment industry, but he's not.
In the public eye.
Yeah, he's not famous.
But he's a successful entrepreneur on his own. But, teach your own.
Yeah. His dad was an actor, but he's not, so.
Yeah. He's able to go under the radar a little bit more. Exactly. But now with Jessica, not so much.
Yeah.
You know. So. Things change.
So it seems to me like because a lot of times you see the power couples break up, right? They come together.
Publicly.
Yeah, it's a very public thing, and it's a whole thing. And it seems like they can never, like, you know, sustain these relationships and all that.
Yeah.
So, but to each his own, I guess.
See, there's both.
I guess in general, though, even with relationships, like, no matter what marriages, the divorce rate is over half. I don't know the exact numbers, but...
I don't know, but they're definitely not like, you know, the back in the day thing where people like...
pull up those numbers?
Yeah.
Like divorce rate in the U.S., I guess.
Yeah.
I remember like when my parents, like years ago, like 10, 20 years ago, like it was frowned upon if you got divorced. Like everyone's like, oh my God, you're getting divorced. You got divorced. And now it's like, I'm divorced.
Yeah.
Everyone's divorced.
Yeah. It's just like any other breakup.
It's like,
Yeah, then you just get married.
It's just so like now people just get married because like they can get divorced.
Yeah. I still have like the same group of like 5 or 6 friends that I had from high school. And we all got married around the same time. We're all still married, actually, which is...
That probably helps you guys stick together, too.
Yeah, we were like our own support group.
Yeah, like you're going through this? Yeah. Okay, this is how you get through that.
Yeah, we're definitely our own support group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
40 to 50%
in divorce? Mm-hmm. 40 to 50%, so not over half, but...
Damn near, though. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a high rate.
I wonder if, like, over the years it will keep getting worse.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Should people get married? It seems like partnerships.
That's always my question. Like,
she asks everyone.
I do.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, I guess, because it's like at a point in my life, too, it's like, I don't know, people get married in their early 20s. People get married in their 30s. People get married at all, like, decades, I guess. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if it makes sense for them on a financial level, like, too, sometimes it does benefit you. I think I just see it as a business a lot of the time.
I do. I mean, I think for me it was good because it was definitely a stabilizing factor versus just me running out crazy, you know, running around crazy.
It solidified for you.
So I think for me it was good to have a home base. You know, I'm an only child and I came from a divorced household. So it was like kind of having like a base, you know.
Yeah.
But for other people, I'm like, I don't know if you should be married.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, do it. Yeah. Like, be in it, be willing to fight for it. And just don't think of it as like an easy thing because it is one of the biggest commitments that you'll make besides having children.
That's the biggest, but
Did you get married before having kids? Well,
married. We got married actually a month. Well, my wife was pregnant, so that definitely contributed to the timing of the marriage.
Really?
But
because
she was pregnant.
Because it's right around there. Yeah. 19 is your daughter?
Yeah, my daughter was born a month later.
And that's really when you guys were like, all right, like this makes sense for our family.
But I think we were going to do it anyway. So just in terms of the timing, let's do it before, you know, before she arrives.
Yeah.
Was she all big and pregnant?
Yeah. Well, she wore like this nice suit. So she hit it well.
Yeah.
So she was. Yeah. She had this nice. So she doesn't look that pregnant.
I love pregnant women.
Yeah. I think it's even more gorgeous.
It's the cutest thing when I see girls pregnant. Like when you see a cute pregnant woman, I'm like,
but you always want to touch the belly.
I know. They're probably like, stop touching me.
You just want to rub it.
I don't know. Maybe it's the dad or the father part. I see the thing. I'm like, oh no.
Really? Like, something's in there.
Ooh, more children. Oh, no.
It's like scary for guys. Girls like, oh my God. fine. You guys are like, stay away from
would
me.
Would you want random girls touching your belly?
Yeah.
You would? You'd be like, oh, hi.
Maybe, yeah, I think so. Because then it takes away from, like, my belly. It's like a baby. Like, oh, yeah, you can touch my baby.
Yeah, wish it well.
Wait, when I bring my dogs everywhere, I'm like, oh, pet my dogs.
See, some, I guess that's the way to think of it, too. Some people are like, don't touch my dog. Yeah. Like, so many people touching my dog. My dog does not like this.
I like my dogs that socialize, so.
Yeah.
I'm like, everyone touch my dogs.
Yeah, love, love, love.
My dog's a little squeamish on new people, so he's like, well, she's like.
Like, don't touch me. Yeah, for the pregnancy, were you in the room?
I was. For
during both. The birth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both, yeah.
And were you gloves on, ready to go? Or just more?
No, or in the back? Like,
no, I was in the back. But it was, I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I was good support, I think.
Yeah, not it holding the leg up.
It is a squeamish thing. Is it a thing? It is definitely like you appreciate a woman so much more. Like
seeing them go through it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because some women fear. They're like, I don't want my husband down there seeing what's going on because they're never going to be turned on by in the bedroom again after they see what is happening.
It's true. I don't know if I even looked too much. Even I think I was more up with her. They're like, I'm going to give you the support versus watching that.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what my stance would be on like, all right, watch and help out and deliver this baby or stay up here in the safe zone.
Yeah.
But what about you're the one delivering the baby? You're like, I don't want to be there. I'm like, oh Amanda, you're having the baby.
Yeah, you're like, no.
You're like, no, I'm just going to be like, up here chilling.
My the father.
Oh, the father.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. Oh, right. It depends on what kind of guy. If he's like a guy that will get grossed out, I'm like, yeah, please stay away.
Yeah.
But some guys wouldn't get grossed out.
Would you have Bennett in the room if he was the one?
Oh, dude, he would need to be there. Bennett is not weird about that stuff. So.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Like, you would have him gloves on.
He picks
on.
Up all the dog poop and everything. So
he picks up dog poop. He can see this.
But he might be. He could be. Yeah, he's good.
And he still loves the dog, so
yeah.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
My dogs are really, like, shitty.
That's true. That's a nice. Yeah.
He changes their diaper. My dogs wear diapers
because
they're really tiny and they're, like, so hard to potty train and they're, like, not fixed. So they just mark their territory everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them. So one does it and then the other one does it. And Bennett always is changing their diapers and everything.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turned your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I just got a new dog and she's super trained. She's amazing.
What kind of dog?
She's half pit, half English Mastiff.
Oh, wow.
Named Luna, and she's the first trained dog I've ever had.
Is she like,
name my dog.
Not too like big, a Mastiff?
Or no, she's
like
more a like pit bull size.
Yeah.
Like is she a puppy colors. Or full grown?
No, she's grown. So she's, I got her. She's, as a matter of fact, her birthday was last Friday. So
happy
she just turned
belated.
Four.
Aww.
Yeah, so I got her recently. But she's fully trained. It's amazing. Like, you know, commands and
they
have a dog that listens and does that.
Your dog are just pooping in their diaper.
Yeah, but my, like I would never have like a full grown like dog that's not potty
yeah.
train.
Oh, yeah.
It's different when you can put a diaper on them. Yeah, like, their turds are like little rabbit turds. Like, if a full-grown dog shit in my house,
yeah.
I'd freak out. I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, I, yeah. you know when you pick it up and it's like a huge shit mm-hmm. in your hands?
But when you have three of them running around, that adds up to one, I think.
Yeah, but they do it at different times.
That's true. Scattered.
Two of them
but are, it's like, over there, train, like, diapers so. Flying.
But they don't like go. They don't go number two in the diapers because it's gross. It gets stuck to the.
Oh right.
So they just it's back. Just pee yeah. and then. Yeah. I don't want like full. I don't
that's
want
like
real
children.
Dogs.
But this
yeah,
is prepping
babies.
You. This is
they're just babies.
You're gonna
yeah.
be. She's gonna love her babies so yeah. much because yeah, you love baby. You're gonna yeah, be sad like, when they get older.
Yeah. No, I love babies. I like when I babysit. I like infants and then like older than like toddlers and stuff. I'm like, if they don't want me to hold it, like please get it away from me.
Yeah.
I like to be able funny. To like control it.
Yeah. I feel like you're gonna be the one when your kids get older, pressuring them to get married and or like have kids,
have
whatever comes first.
I'm like taking all the condoms from them. I'm like, no,
putting holes in them.
I'm like putting holes in the condoms, my son's condoms.
Mom,
I'm like,
right, yeah. evil mom. Right.
I'm like, do you want your daughter to wait?
Probably wait, yeah, because she's into film and television, so I want her to get established in her career. But I mean, I want her to be happy, so
yeah,
whatever it does.
What does she want to do behind the scenes or like be an actress?
No, I think more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully maybe she'll go into directing or something.
Smart
you know.
Girl.
Yeah.
So awesome.
She's good. So hopefully, I just want her to establish herself that way, whether she's married or not, she can still take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know.
That's the best.
That's
like,
always what I would want for my daughters.
Well, that's what I've noticed too. Like some, and no shame against the women that want to be housewives and take care of the home and stuff too. I just think it's so nice to have that clarity in your mind of being able to make your own decisions and not being restrained because you can't like afford to leave a man or like and vice versa. So I think it's always good just to be able to have that like financial freedom that it gives you.
And I think in my family and my wife and in her family and just we've always been around. So I've been around strong women like my whole life. So it's like strong, independent women. So I'd want my daughter to follow in that, you know, same footsteps.
Well, because even in a relationship, I think it helps. Like, whether it's, like, you're supporting the family by doing all these things, but, you know, as your kids get older, it's not as necessary to, like, you know, like, find something that you can do to occupy your time to...
That's what my wife did. She went, for a while, she was, you know, the homemaker and taking care, really helping raise the kids. And then more, you know, recent years, she's been back working and, like, getting back into the, you know, she likes that.
Yeah. And I feel like... It helps people so much too when they're staying busy and doing those. It gives them satisfaction and it betters the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that because you have, you know, everyone has their own thing to do and things on their mind. And, you know,
and not so, focus on the little things.
Now it's like, where you at? What you doing?
And like being a mom is like a full time job. Like,
people
don't understand that is a job.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
It really is.
No, like my sister, that's like her thing is raising her two kids. But and she also works at my mom's karate school too and teaches classes and stuff.
Your mom has a karate school?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
In South Florida. Master Amy Reed's Black Belt Academy.
Was it? Cerny Reed's?
Master Amy Reed's. She has a different last name than me. But she's my mom.
No, so she's probably
my mom.
She's the last person you want to mug.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kids, yeah.
And what was like the benefit that you got out of it? Anything? Like, I learned how to punch somebody.
Yeah, I felt like I learned how to fight.
No, because that's important too.
It is. I definitely
self-defense.
Learned how to like protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been a punk.
Yeah. Well, we have this thing that we do called the honey pots.
Okay.
So we take a dip in the honey. We never can remember this.
We take a dip.
Honey dip tip.
Oh, we get a tip from the honey dip.
Get a tip from the honey dip. So in our honey pot, we have diary entries that our fans send in and they get advice on their relationships.
Okay.
So we give them the best advice we can.
All right.
Like take it as coming from your friends. It's not expert advice. So here we go. First thing. Ooh, that one wanted me. All right. Jeez. Oh, honey. So I recently found out that my best friend's boyfriend is cheating on her and she doesn't know. Is it a good idea to tell her? I'm afraid that she won't believe me and will become angry at me. Or If I don't tell her and she finds out that I knew all along, she will never trust that I had her best interest. Help. Che Pope.
Well, as the guy, mm-hmm. you know, she needs proof, like factual proof, you know what I mean? Because if she's going to confront her friend, you know, she should tell her friend. Mm-hmm. She should tell a friend, but she should have her facts straight mm-hmm. versus just speculating. And then she goes yeah. and then, the friend, then, you know, if the guy, it's not true, then the girl will hate her friend forever.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess I wouldn't hate my friend if she hate my friend forever. I guess I wouldn't hate my friend if she came to me and was like, hey, not to cause any drama, but I did hear this. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah. That's a good approach.
Yeah. But not like, oh my God, your boyfriend's cheating on you. Break up with him now.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, and they must not be very great of friends, because like if you're really good friends with someone, you would mm-hmm. like tell them without even hesitation.
Yeah. I feel like yeah. someone would come knocking on my door, hand deliver the message.
She'd be like, look.
Bitch, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're a good friend, you're going to tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I see coming from the guy's perspective too, it's like, okay, don't cause drama. Distrust.
Well, there's that stereotypical thing that always guys are always cheating. I mean, you know, that's the stereotype, you know, mm-hmm. especially, I mean, you know, if you're in entertainment or sports.
Yeah.
You know, you're just out there.
Do you hate that stereotype?
I do, because it's, you know, it's always like in any argument or any conversation,
yeah,
it's always assumed.
You can't win.
You know? So if you hear someone broke up or someone did this, oh, what did he do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean, what did he
do? Do you say the majority, though, it is pretty accurate?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah,
but hence the stereotypes, right?
Dudes are scumbags. I'm not disputing that. No. But,
you have a daughter.
Yes. So, I'm not disputing that, but yeah. it's still just, you know, same thing like court of law, like, you know, mm-hmm. you probably did steal the money, but, you know.
Yeah, give you assume, a trial.
Yeah, we assume that he didn't steal the money.
Yeah. You know? No, I love the saying, innocent until proven guilty, because certain things come out and people automatically believe it's true, and it can ruin a person's entire life and reputation and career. And people are like, oh, why did this happen? Oh, because this one person said it.
Yep, you're right.
It's like, all right, well, hold on.
Yeah. Right.
Before you go crazy, like, let's hear both sides of the story.
Yep, let's get to the
facts. Let's get it in court.
Yep, let's get to the facts.
And let's get that verdict, but let's not put either side down yet.
Yeah, like, no, you know, it's like, you know, I'm friends with, like, Russell Simmons and Brett Ratner, who both had, you know, their various issues with whatever. And I'm not disputing whether it's fact or fiction, but what I am disputing is that, you know, they lost business deals and things of that nature before
it was
anything was proven, just over allegations and things of that nature.
Which is scary, right? For I mean, if you're somebody that is innocent that happened to, and you're like, all that has to happen is for somebody to come out and just say, I did something, like, even if they're mad at me and they just say that, just to... like hurt my career.
And then girls can't be trusted nowadays, because girls will do anything. Oh, I did this with someone, so for any type of clout or anything. So it's like,
yeah, there are some girls like that, and there are some girls that legitimately were taken advantage of, or just like put in very bad situations, that, you know, they're the whole reason why this whole Me Too movement should exist and be like a real thing. But some people take advantage of that.
Well, it has to exist, you know, because I think for so long, so many people, because, you know, these individuals were so powerful, right? It was really hard to say something against them, because if you say, you know, if you're trying to be an actress
forget
and you said something
it.
Against someone like Harvey Weinstein, you know, your career is done. Like, right? He can shut down Hollywood for you.
Yeah.
So it's true. There is truth to that. But at the same time, I do feel like these people have to get, you know, it has to be vetted so that we know it's fact before people are losing business deals and things of that nature, you know?
Definitely.
So.
Yeah, I support it fully, but also I do see the downside of it as well.
Exactly.
Because it's a hard thing. Like, even for me, like my first time in LA, I was like, all right, meeting people, meeting producers, and I was like, all right, I want to get into acting. Yeah. And then, so you're taking meetings just thinking, okay, this is how LA works. Yep. I mean, like a 20 years old and just like figuring this out. And then, so I get a meeting with a producer that was recommended through a friend, and they're like, oh, just like come to my house, like 6, 7 PM. And it was like for a meeting. I'm like, oh cool. Like works out of home. Awesome. And so drive there, get there. go knock on the door, nobody answers, and then knock on the door again and text, and they're like, oh, just come around, like, I think that was the order of things, come around the side of the house. I'm like, okay, cool. So a little weird.
Yeah,
but cool. I am thinking, like, I want to be polite. I want to just like not make anybody upset too. Like, if this is like how things normally work, then cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I walk around the side of the house, and I walk around the side of the house, and then I just hear, "Oh, come in the kitchen," and I'm like, because all the sliding glass doors were open. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, go in the kitchen, butt naked, making a cocktail drink. And I'm like, oh my God. like, to me, it's like a little bit comedic. Because instead, like, in my head, I'm like, this is freaking funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but also a little shocking. And usually when I'm shocked, I laugh too. So I'm like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
Like,
so you're like, you know, we had a meeting.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, I think I'm here at the wrong time. And then it's like, no, just hang out, like making it super normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I think I'm gonna go. He's like, no, I'm having friends over. His friends all come out, like two girls, another guy, go in the hot tub naked, all of them.
All of them.
All of them. And here I am, I'm like, I don't feel in danger. I don't feel like, like fine here. But I'm just, they're like, I'm like, I think I'm gonna go. You guys just do your thing. We'll have our meeting another time. Like, never. Another time.
Yeah.
And
never.
Then
like another never.
Time.
Yeah. Like never.
Yeah. And then he gets in the hot tub too, and the girls start making out with each other. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go. He's like, no, like, let's hang out and then talk about like us working together and stuff. I'm like, no, it's fine. You guys do your thing. Have so much fun. Nice to meet you, ladies. And then like head out the side, and I remember just getting to the street, getting to my car, and just dying laughing. Like, I was like, what the hell just happened?
That's a funny story. But you know how many girls would just join because they're like, oh, I want to get a movie deal, or I want to
gorgeous. Yeah,
but honestly, like, I don't think rarely it probably works like that.
What about those two girls making out in the hot tub? They probably want to be in a movie.
I've never seen them on a feature film.
Oh no, I'm not saying it probably ever works.
Yeah.
But it works to get them in bed.
Oh, for the other way.
Yeah.
I don't think it works out for them though. Like, sometimes it does. You hear the stories of the ones that it does work out for.
See, fortunately for men, it doesn't. We don't have that problem. We don't get invited to like someone's house and like she's in the kitchen naked and stuff. You know,
you guys would love that.
Yeah, I wonder
like,
how that
yes.
story goes. Some like power exec or something. I'd be like, hey,
like, oh,
yeah.
Independent
like,
woman.
Growing up, I always heard
before
like,
you were married.
Yeah.
Exactly. Growing up, I always heard like the casting couch. Like
that's
I always
a real
thought
thing.
That was. I always thought that wasn't true.
Yeah.
And then now I like know that it's true. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I just know a lot of men. So, you know, and like when you know like the character of certain men, you're just like, okay. But, you know, there's people that just, you could just tell, they're just sleazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You wish for them, like you hope they don't like rape anybody or
do anything
inappropriate. But you just know they're just
sleazy.
They get
sleazy. That reputation.
Yeah, they just have that slime ball kind of feel. Like, you know,
But that's why I think the movement was so great too, though, because at the same time, it made people aware of what and legitimized what was actually happening that so many people thought it was just like, you know, whatever, or kind of knew about it, but like nobody really would take action against it too, because these people were so powerful.
Yeah. And I think it makes even now, like, it makes people think twice about their behavior.
Yeah. You know?
Doesn't mean the same thing doesn't go on. It just, they think twice about it now.
For sure.
I mean?
Right,
so.
Because they're like, oh, now I get in trouble for doing
this. Yeah, like, you know, maybe you come over now and he's got a robe on.
Exactly.
You know, he's not ready to take, he's not really flashy yet.
He's not fully
yet.
Naked
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, he's not fully naked yet, but he's got a robe on.
A little
on
bit
first.
Respect
yeah,
there.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe start, yeah.
Yeah. But that's I kind good. Of just want to ask you a couple more questions about, like, for the Me Too movement, since we're on that topic, and I know it's so, like, such an intense topic too, right? Because
it is
very real, and also like there's negative side effects to different things. But like, have you seen a big change in the music industry after the Me Too movement kind of came into effect in a positive way?
I think probably more on a corporate side of probably like corporate, and granted, I don't really work in offices like that. We were always mostly in studios, but I'm sure the corporate environment has been affected by it in terms of like people making sure they're a lot more you know, and their better behavior, exactly, and professional and so forth. Because in the, you know, the music industry or any entertainment industry, it's much more of a casual environment than some business, you know, in some businesses. So now I think it's
which just kind of leads to.
But I think on the other side of it, with the artist and the thing, I think it's the same.
Yeah.
You know, I think artists.
Yeah.
And rappers and, you know, music, I think they could, they want a certain environment, so they cultivate a certain environment, you know, whether they want, if they want girls and alcohol out there and people smoking or people in the pool, I think they still cultivate their environments as such.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to change.
Right. Yeah. And I think as long as, you know, those artists are being safe and respectful, at the same time, they have to look out for themselves too.
Exactly. It's a two-way street, right?
Yeah. Because when you're mixing all those things, it's like, it's complicated.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of traps out there for artists and so forth. So, yeah, exactly. So they just need to, you know, hopefully everybody's being smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Both sides. But, slaps everybody in the face saying, like, pay attention, this is the thing, and straighten up.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for doing our podcast and coming out here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much.
To your old neighborhood.
Best of luck with it. It's great. Yeah, it's my neighborhood, right? It's my hood. It's my hood. I know we need like Studio City, like Valley Village. We need signs or something.
So what's the name of your production company?
The new company?
Yeah.
We're in trademark search right now, but it's called Workshop with no vowels.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a media company.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right. Because you're doing movies now.
But want to do it all. Anything in the media space is the idea.
Will be doing it.
Yes.
That's the verbiage we like.
To put the,
the good vibes in the universe. In there.
So for you guys, we'll put all of Che Pope's links below on the YouTube video and check him out. Where can they find you?
Well, right now they can just find me. They can just listen to the music that's out there.
Love it.
Just listen to the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a lot coming.
We love that. We will too.
Yeah.
And make sure you subscribe to the Oh Honey podcast on YouTube.
And listen to us on Apple Play and Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast.
And download it. Download our podcast.
And subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yes.
And follow us on Instagram.
Oh Honey Diary on IG. So check it out. We love you guys so much. And send in your diary entries to diary@ohhoneydiary.com.
Love you guys.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.